Hurricane OM update news. I'm Margaret DeMaribus, and it's 8:02. The ice jam that is causing devastating flooding in the Yukon River community of Galena is slowly starting to break up. KUAC's Dan Bross reports. National Weather Service hydrologist Ed Plum first saw signs it was crumbling late yesterday morning. He says Wednesday afternoon, large pieces were starting to break off the front of the ice jam. But Plum says the water could still rise before that happens, and the water is within inches of cresting the dike around the airport. Plum says the airport area is lower than the surrounding water and only protected by the earthen dike. He says the walled area, which includes the runway, former Air Force Base buildings, a school dorm, and tank farm, is providing a last refuge from surrounding devastation. He says there's debris and fuel floating on the water. If the jam gives way, suddenly a slug of water and ice will move toward downstream villages of Koyukuk and Nolato, where some residents have already evacuated as a precaution. Koyukuk residents are monitoring river conditions on a bluff near the town. Most residents of Galena have evacuated, but State Emergency Manager David Lee says some people have refused to leave.
They have places that are higher in the houses, like second stories and stuff. They've pretty much accepted that it's happened, and they're just going forward from there.
Lee says the state is working with the local tribe to ensure those remaining have supplies to ride out the flood until the ice jam gives way. The Department of Law says it's reviewing the previous case files of Jerry Andrew Active, who's charged in the beating deaths of an elderly Anchorage couple last weekend. The department said as part of its ongoing investigation, it has started going through Active's files and gathering information. Three Democratic state legislators have sent a letter to Attorney General Mike Garrity asking that he investigate the circumstances surrounding Active's release from prison in an earlier case. It's been a successful spring seal and bearded seal hunt in the area, and after last year's unusual mortality event that hit ringed seals, only a few seals have been reported with hair loss this year. Gay Sheffield is with the Bering Strait Marine Advisory Program.
Seems like we're over the hump, but we would like to continue to understand what is the status.
Sheffield says so far there are three ringed seals and three bearded seals with hair loss and skin sores that have been reported in the Bering Strait region. Those seals were reported in Wales, Cape Woolley, and Unalakleet in late April and early May.
But these seals were reported fat and alert, unlike in the previous years where when 2011, when the seals were very, we had very many reports and they were coming in very frequently. The seals were in typically bad body condition. They were not alert. They were approachable.
Sheffield says there are fewer reports and the seals that have been reported are not as sick as they were in 2011 and 2012. She asks that hunters continue to report any sick seals. She also asks that you photograph any sick seals you see or harvest.
And the symptoms for sick seals include they're easily approachable. We have not seen that yet this spring, but that has been the case. Patchy hair loss, sores on the body, flipper, or head, and these are small circular pink sores, bloody nose or eyes, and difficulty breathing or diving.
Sheffield works with the North Slope Borough Wildlife Management biologists. They have not yet found the cause of the illness, but some test results are still pending. They have ruled out viruses and some bacteria. And for radiation, the levels tested were also comparable to tests that were originally taken in the late 1970s. They also tested the seals for possible exposure to harmful algal blooms, and those came back negative. Sheffield says there is also no indication that the illness can be passed to people or dogs. If you come across a sick seal, call the Eskimo Walrus Commission or the Marine Advisory Program. Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell is calling for the international maritime industry to assist Alaska in keeping Arctic waters safe. Treadwell addressed marine industry partners at the Promise of the Arctic Council yesterday in Seattle. He asked that shippers focus on making Arctic shipping safe, secure, and reliable in the Arctic Ocean, the Bering Strait, and passages through the Aleutian Islands. Treadwell referenced the Arctic Council oil spill agreement signed 2 weeks ago. He says that the agreement means working together to respond to Arctic oil spills, not just after they happen, but before an accident occurs. Treadwell asked the U.S. maritime industry to join the fight for safer oceans because it is right, fair, and profitable. Alaska is joining 10 other states in opposing cuts to federal royalty payments. ABRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports that when resources are extracted from federal lands, states are usually entitled to 50% of the royalties. But because of sequestration, their portion is being reduced by 5%. Despite being energy rich, Alaska doesn't get much money from this royalty sharing because there isn't a lot of drilling happening on federal lands. Last year, Alaska only received $16 million in federal receipts, while Wyoming received close to $1 billion. So, the cut isn't expected to have much of an effect on the state's budget. Even so, Alaska is standing by the other members of the Energy Producing States Coalition in pushing back against the royalty reduction. State Senator Kathy Giesel is the chair-elect of the coalition, and she compares what the federal government is doing to theft.
If there's a contract in place between two individuals, and one individual is not honoring that contract and is retaining money that's owed to the other person, does that not equate to stealing?
Giesel adds that a policy of reducing states' royalty shares would hurt Alaska more if the federal government increased activity in the MPRA or if it opened ANWR up to drilling. The Office of Natural Resources Revenue, which handles the royalty payments, says that they understand the hardships sequestration is causing states, but that they need to enforce the cuts to comply with federal law. Bills that would restore the 50-50 split in royalty payments were recently introduced in the U.S. House and the Senate. The Coast Guard captain for the port for Western Alaska says that in hindsight, he wishes that agency inspectors had reviewed a Royal Dutch Shell PLC tow vessel as well as a drilling barge before it left on a voyage across the Gulf of Alaska. The drill barge Kulik ran aground December 31st near Kodiak Island. Captain Paul Mailer told a Coast Guard investigation panel Wednesday that he had ordered a non-routine inspection of the Kulik, but not of the tow vessel Ivik. A tow line between the vessels parted December 27th, and the Ivik a day later lost power to its main engines. Mailer says he was confident from conversations with Shell and its contractors that the company could perform the tow safely. And for your gold prices at this hour, gold is up $21.10 an ounce to $1,414.80. Silver is up 52 cents an ounce to $23.07. Zinc is at 85 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive at 8:55 this morning and to depart at 9:42. It is unofficially 38 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.